Well, a little talking heads, courtesy of Karen Anderson. Very appropriate. Bureaucracy Now, a couple talking heads here since we are on Zoom as we speak. This is our weekly chat with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow, the talking head on the Zoom computer right in front of me. And I hope he can hear me because he's really, really busy with lunch right now. Ah, and he can't. He can't hear me because he's pointing at his ears. There we go. Now we are here. And as usual, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for John Morrow, you can post it at dj@kptz.org, and I will ask it for you. Welcome, John.
Hey, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. Looked like a good sandwich. I'm making me hungry. a week, an eternity in Port Townsend, lots of good things. I want to speak to the cliffhanger that you left us with last week, banked capacity. So for city government nerds like myself, we want to know what that is. And I'm sure you are the person to tell us.
Well, I mean, I admittedly, it's not the sexiest of terms, but we could try to unpack it and it might sound more palatable to people. As we're gearing up just in the last few months for whether and how we end up spending some of the banked levy capacity we have when we combined into the regional fire district. And so that left us with some decisions to make about how we, if and how we spend that. Last year, we decided not to because of the severe, dire situation with COVID. This year, it might be a different story. I've recommended to council just this week a package that had been through a couple workshop sessions before of investments in trails and parks and streets. And let me be clear, not a tremendous high number of them because, we have such a high need and we're only allowed to spend up to $605,000 in that bank capacity for all projects next year. So there are a couple, if you haven't followed this through council and the workshops and the discussions, there are charts, there are presentations, there are graphs. And actually, it's all really good. The staff has done an awesome job ranking 174 possible projects against some criteria. No new stuff here. This is all existing plan stuff, things we've already worked through with the community in our PROS plan or our non-motorized plan. And really, this is about choosing a small slice of that to make investments in. And you can go to Engage PT, and it's one of the hot topics called bank capacity. And you can learn a little bit about the history. But what you need to know right now is that we need your input. And so on that page, you can take a survey. It's very quick, doesn't take more than maybe 5 or 10 minutes. You can visit us at the farmers market this Saturday and next Saturday. You could attend an open house and a town hall that'll happen at the Cotton Building on Monday the 26th from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., where you could wander around and look at some of the boards and visuals and lists of projects. You could also ask staff and myself questions, and we'll probably give a brief presentation and then go back to mingling and actually seeing each other in person again. And then there'll be a final public hearing on the 9th of August at 6:30 as part of the city council meeting. That was what we were supposed to do. That was the requirement. We needed to have a public hearing to do to get the community sense on this. My gut feel, though, is that that's just not enough. And hence all the other elements that we've actually just said, look, we got to do a survey. We've got to be at the farmers market. We got to have a town hall event to better shape up what this could look like when it goes for decision in front of council. Now, they'll probably, I'm guessing, make an indicative, maybe pass a resolution or show some general direction at the August 9th meeting. But this will get wrapped into our budget process, which really kicks off in earnest in September. So I can go on about this for a long time. I could talk about the specific projects, but I think, you know, just given the short time we have, Tim, I just want folks to know that this is on the radar. We honestly want to know what people think about this. There's not enough to go around everywhere, but we've tried to think about geographic equity and equity of projects. We've really focused on things like ADA, accessibility, curb ramps, trail improvements, one major slice of a sidewalk on the west side on 9th Street, and then signage and kiosks for the entire city, for our trails and park system, so people can actually get where they're going and understand, you know, what that left turn at Cappy's will really take you to. Sometimes I have to figure out by experimentation, but it's good to know where you're going. So we think it's a pretty good package that we've proposed. I expect it will get better with public feedback. So stay tuned to that, and I'll probably talk about it again next week.
So banked capacity then is a basically a good problem to have in the spectrum of problems to have in the city government.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be sort of callous about this. I mean, there is a limit to what we should ask people to pay for services that they expect and they desire. But I think this is a small experiment in a smaller slice of funding that is specifically for use in a couple core areas. And that includes investing in trails and parks and streets, and doesn't go very far. So it's a good exercise in prioritization and trade-offs. It needs to dovetail with our financial sustainability work. And I think it shows us that if we want to make sustained progress, we really need to start soon. I think that's the attitude I've taken. I hear from people quite often that we should put some money into our trails and parks. We should put some money into our streets. And unless we get going now, that problem just gets worse. And actually the cost probably will increase because we're not actually keeping up with our deferred maintenance.
So the public gets to chime in on how these funds are dispersed.
Yes.
I will be one of those because I'm thinking that since COVID, our city essential workers, we should give each of them a free live monkey. And that's why I'm not sitting in your chair, Mr. Morrow.
Where do you get such things? I didn't know there was a big supply.
No, there probably isn't, but I can get you a supplier if you're interested.
Love it.
Okay. Moving on. There are other things happening here in town. One is the groundbreaking for the Olicap project. Can you fill us in?
Well, gosh, I'm really excited about this one. It's actually today at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And despite four interviews for a director level position, a couple council member conversations in this radio show, I'm going to try to be there. You know, the facility is a 43 unit affordable housing project here in Port Townsend. Yes, indeed, an affordable housing project in Port Townsend. Hopefully that's news enough. And it's really being developed by OLICAP, the Olympic Community Action Programs. It's going to, you know, the facility itself is located at 7th and Hendricks. It has a studio, you know, 1, 2, and 3 bedroom units. It's meant for households with incomes below 50% of the area median income for Jefferson County, the AMI. And it's going to have an early learning and childcare facility on site for both resident and community use. It's likely going to be a net zero energy building, so highly efficient. It's going to have some on-site parking, play area for kids. And a lot of support services that, you know, they're designated for interface with Discovery Behavioral Health and Safe Harbor Recovery Center and Dove House. And, you know, just a number of groups that provide great services to our community who have members who have developmental disabilities or with chronic mental illness, domestic violence victims. This has been a long time, coming. This is not something that started when I started. It started long before. I can say with some degree of pride that, the city has played a small role in getting this through the process and also waiving the fees as we can do for affordable housing projects, you know, hookup fees for utilities and for the permitting. Construction starts literally today on the groundbreaking. And then we're hoping that occupancy is expected by the fall of 2022. So a big shout out to all the groups that have played a huge role here, especially OLICAP. The county, the city, and many others. I think there's also been, private support from Rotary and Kiwanis and private donors. It's really an all hands on deck exercise. And I've talked to some who don't agree that's the right place for, affordable housing or a project. And I get it that it's, it's a 43 unit building right there, but man, you're right next to grocery, transit, services. I think it's a really great spot. And I'm really, having looked at the plans my first week here, I'm excited to see them actually come to fruition.
And this is truly reason to celebrate. I mean, 44 units may not sound like much, but considering the size of this city, I think it's significant. I'm proud of the city and all the partners that you mentioned in being able to get this through. None of this is easy. And OLLICAP certainly must have their hands full. One of the topics that's come up on many of the candidate forums is specifically about the city waiving fees. And I don't think it is well known enough in the city that had been done for this project. And perhaps maybe not the last time. Who knows?
No, I mean, I literally waived $8,000 in fees for affordable housing this morning. So, it's something that's ongoing, that's one way the city plays a role. I will not try to argue that we're doing everything. We need to step up our game. But I think today, especially, it's a really great day to shine some light on OLLICAP and all that they give to this community, and actually a really challenging project with crazy financing challenges that they've been able to cut through. So I'm really excited about having them see some of the limelight today.
And John Morrow, if you're just joining us, this is John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager. This may be a little, off topic. It just occurred to me recently, though, that you talked about the net zero aspect of that building. Your background in sustainability.
Yeah.
A little just curiosity. How has that background affected your decision-making in your current post, or has it?
Yeah, man, that's a great question, Tim. And I mean, I as I try to be, both because I'm not clever enough to have different stories to different people, and also because it's just how I'm built here. I'll be brutally honest. I mean, when I arrived, didn't anticipate a pandemic. And I'm not using that as a shield or an excuse, but I think that's changed the level and the time duration of the decision-making that I'm doing currently. It's really been a lot about reactivity and thinking back to the basics. What do we need to survive and to kind of thrive? And what foundations do we need to build? And so my two key core priorities are the staff of the city and relationships in the community, including with other agencies in the community itself. And that's why I'm excited to be on this show. That's why I was excited to get Engage PT and our annual report up. That's why I'm excited to get back to my coffees. And that's really why I was working with many, many people to try to get this intergovernmental collaborative group up so that we can work together. In terms of climate related work, I mean, I spent 20 years doing work that was either directly or indirectly related to climate change and sustainability. I mean, that is a passion of mine. I loved being chief sustainability officer in Auckland. It was my favorite job at the time. It's now been eclipsed by this one, I will say. But I think the time ahead, I'm grateful that there's community interest and lots of volunteer capacity. The Climate Action Committee in particular is a multi-agency volunteer-based group with great technical nous and leadership. And they're really bringing things like the new greenhouse gas inventory to the community, thinking about things like adaptation alongside the city and some of our shoreline planning this year. And then a group like the North Olympic Development Council, NODC, thinking more regionally across Jefferson and Clallam. That's been a really great place where we can focus on sustainable economic development, response and preparation for climate change. And I have nothing but positive things to say about that group and about Karen Affeld, their director. But two tangible things. One, like I said just a moment ago, our Shoreline Master Program is being updated this year, and we're casting a climate change impacts lens on that. So a big hat tip to Judy Serber for leading that effort in the planning team. And the other thing is our legislative agenda. You know, we were lucky to have a lot go through in the legislature that we were directly pushing for, specifically for Port Townsend. And so thank you, legislative delegation, for that, because it was really those three gentlemen, our state senator, our two representatives, who really helped us get there. But there were a couple other things, including, you know, full throated support for a package of a climate bill that, you know, a number of measures went through, really directed by Governor Inslee. And this is the kind of community where that's a no-brainer. You know, you see a lot of people living their values and a lot of people thinking about the opportunity of what if we even dug deeper in how we get around by foot and by bicycle. You know, it might not be for everybody, but I think we're at the tip of the iceberg there. What if we dug deep and thought, you know, not just solar, you know, for those who could afford it, but, you know, a net zero building for affordable housing. I mean, that's a big lift in itself today. And again, I think that's just the kind of the tip of the iceberg. So I will say with some trepidation, as I've literally walked or run the entire coastline in Port Townsend, rock by rock, you know, there are some places that are already vulnerable to sea level rise and climate change and increasing storm, you know, frequency and severity. And we as a community need to have a really deep reckoning about that. You know, we will see things happen even, you know, maybe in the next week, who knows? I mean, that can test ourselves in terms of what's possible with climate. But we have time because this is a long, slow trajectory toward warmer, wetter, in some cases drier and more severe storms. And so, you know, sea level rise is not going to go up by 3 feet tomorrow. But, you know, you look at all the low-lying areas in town and you think, what's the future? We need to be planning for that 30, 40, 50 year future. Same thing with our water supply. That's an area where this comes up currently. And as we begin negotiations with the mill on the future of our water supply. And I love how our public works director, Steve King, talks about this. You know, this is what's our 100 year future plan for water supply in Port Townsend? You know, that's about the last time when this system was built. You know, it was almost 100 years ago. We need to think about 100 years forward and think about things like climate impacts as we do. So I think there's a lot of, you know, kind of early things that have been really in my mind. I've been almost edgy and a little bit impatient and feeling like, gosh, I really can't wait to dive deeper into this because, you know, it's unavoidable. You know, if we're not thinking about our future resilience to climate change and also reducing our own impacts, it's just going to steamroll us. And so I'd rather be ready for it.
Well, you touched on something that I really did want you to speak to, and that is the gravity water system, because it's not often, especially ourselves as Americans, we think about tomorrow or next month and possibly next year, to think right. about the next 100 years and the complexity of bringing that thinking to bear in a project like that is that's an undertaking. It's yeah. almost superhuman, actually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Local 2020, I mean, they helped us during the pandemic, but they were around well before that. And I remember when before the pandemic, we were gathering and there was, you know, events where I was cruising with my daughter around the tables and just seeing the breadth of what this community can do on the backs of volunteers with good skills and goodwill. And I was really impressed. And coming from, you know, New Zealand most recently, where we were trying to change the narrative around climate change. And, you know, it was a pretty progressive place thinking about climate change and leading the country and, or sorry, leading the, you know, to some degree the world. You know, not with a kind of real depth of community engagement and experience that we have here. So let's use that. I think there's a theme here for me in this coming year of how do we tap deeper into the resources we have right here and use those brains and those, you know, willing shoulders to the wheel to really make this place, you know, to think about more than 100 years ahead.
Well, you're in the right place for that. The depth of talent here and the people that are willing to raise their hand to chime in on this, as you know, is endless. And I wish you the best on keeping that at the forefront of your mind. It's unique and it's appreciated. From a person sitting in your position. You know, John, I'm thinking about in the few minutes we have left doing a John Morrow lightning round. And what this consists of
Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to challenge me.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah. This consists of I mention a couple words, and you pop in with the first few things that come to mind related to that.
Fun.
Okay? Okay.
Love it.
Okay. Here we go. And this list may grow as I think about it. Taylor Street lights. Traffic lights.
Patience. Hope is on the way.
Hope is on the way. I love it. Okay. Highway 20 roundabouts.
Innovation, collaboration, and we will be successful there. in something excellent.
All very optimistic. City hires.
Holy cow. I'm up to my ears. Four interviews today for a director level role. Lots of police that we need to bring in for talent because that team's been short for a long time and actually vacancies across a lot of the city. So high need, and we're looking for the good and we're looking for the best.
Our new police chief.
Hands full. HB 1310, I'll drop some policy wonk stuff on you. That's the state police legislative, the state reforms on policing. Coffee meeting. He had couple coffee conversations, and I loved it. The mayor showed up and met his whole family. So I have a lot of affection for how Tom's coming to this community, and I enjoy working with him.
Well, you know, I noticed that, and unfortunately, I had a prior commitment, and it was at two locations, at Velocity and also at the Roadhouse, which I thought it was a great separation and perhaps a great deal of difference between the audience, and interested to know how that worked out and if there was anything that of any interest that came to his ears. Yeah. Either way, we're glad to have him here.
Yeah.
John Morrow. Thank you, as usual. This is Brewocracy Now. And, you know, at sometime very soon, John Morrow, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we once did this from a hospital room with John Morrow in a blue and white gown with a IV drip on him. So we can do this from anywhere. And we will be on the road to Lopez Island soon. And we're still going to continue on.
Yeah, look, I'm gonna be honest with the community. I've worked my tail off here, but that's what you expect of me. I need to take time off because it'll get swallowed up. My lead bank will get too big, and then it'll just go away. And I have a family, and so next week on Thursday I'll be on Lopez Island with my family, doing a little bike tour to a campsite with some friends, and I'm gonna try to call in for the show, and I'll give you a little bit for the future too. It'll be interesting in August. I might bring my dad. He would love that. I'm not sure if this audience would, but what the heck, we might try it. Oh. And I'm likely to have both superintendents from Chimicum and Port Townsend School District join me in mid-August. So stay tuned for that as well.
This is KPTZ, your community radio station. We're not afraid to jump off a cliff on new ideas here. John Morrow, thank you very much.
You bet. Great to see you, Tim.
Until next week. Bye.